people who go to distant places and find mysterious buried remains from long-forgotten times. Unfortunately, Mesopotamia has no Indiana Jones, so my passion for this subject needs explanation, which underscores the need for this course. But I hope that after I've told you something about my work, you'll share my excitement for this amazing field. Mesopotamia is the ancient name for what's now Iraq. People have often heard of it because it was home to a lot of firsts: the world's first cities, the earliest writing, the first written laws, the first diplomatic relationships, along with a host of other things. That's all true. But Mesopotamia was much more than a place of firsts. Its civilization was rich and long-lasting, surviving for more than 3,000 years. In fact, Mesopotamian civilization lasted longer than the amount of time that has passed from its demise to the present day. Mesopotamian kingdoms flourished for almost two-thirds of the time that civilization has existed on Earth. Even so, those Mesopotamian kingdoms ended up being largely forgotten for thousands of years. In contrast, ancient Greek and Roman writings were kept alive by one generation after another of scribes, scholars, and students. The same is true of the Bible and the history of the Israelites. There's an unbroken tradition of classical studies and biblical studies from ancient times to now. The study of Mesopotamian history began relatively recently with the decipherment of their writing system about 170 years ago. This was accompanied by a flurry of archaeological excavations in Iraq, Iran, and Syria, work that has continued ever since. The excavations revealed cities of great sophistication that thrived in an era long before the Greeks, Romans, and Israelites. And the excavations uncovered ancient documents by the thousands. More than 250,000 documents have been found, many of them still unpublished. Many haven't even been read yet. So being a Mesopotamian historian is like being an explorer of uncharted waters. We make new discoveries all the time. In most fields of history, everyone knows the basic framework, the timeline and names and events that lie along it. Mesopotamia is different. Not only do unexpected kings, queens, and other prominent figures show up frequently, but when clay tablets are newly translated, entire kingdoms can emerge. There aren't many of us who specialize in ancient Mesopotamia, so there's no shortage of research projects. It's incredibly exciting to uncover new details of ancient civilizations, details that literally nobody has known about for thousands of years. Now, to answer that dinner party question, how did I get interested in this field? From about the age of 8, I wanted to be an archaeologist. But in graduate school, I decided I was going to be a historian, for reasons I'll explain in a moment. I grew up in a village south of London. My backyard was full of all sorts of interesting things. There were bowls of clay tobacco pipes and sharp fragments of willow-patterned china from the 19th century. I collected these and kept searching for more. My parents wanted to nurture my interest, so they found an archaeology program for kids at the local library. The group met once a week, and I was completely hooked. This was what I wanted to do. Later, as an undergraduate at UCLA in Southern California, a class on ancient Near Eastern archaeology captivated my interest, and I ended up taking the whole sequence of classes. I was also playing bass in a rock band. My days were filled with attending class and completing my assignments, and my evenings were taken up by the band. A couple of years later, I was back in England, doing a master's degree at the Institute of Archaeology in London. Well, my old band added a couple of new members and changed their name to the Bangles. They spent the late 1980s recording and performing around the world. But I'm happy I chose an academic career. I'd started taking classes in the ancient Mesopotamian language of Akkadian, which was written in a script known as cuneiform. Cuneiform signs are made up of straight lines with wedge-shaped heads. Cuneiform isn't an alphabet. Each sign